Title: Atmospheric Transition Tails at 170 BPM Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This lesson is all about atmospheric transition tails at 170 BPM in Ableton Live, specifically for drum and bass and jungle adjacent rolling music. When I say transition tail, I mean that long after image you hear after a fill or a stab. The reverb bloom, the echo smear, the ghosty wash that connects sections. But here's the catch. In DNB, if your tail is huge but your drop lands softer, you didn't make a transition, you made a mistake. So we're going to build a setup that lets you go big and cinematic, but still keep the kick, snare, and bass hitting like they should. Stock Ableton devices, return tracks, tempo lock throws, and an advanced print and edit workflow so you can treat tails like actual arrangement elements. First, quick session mindset. Set the tempo to 170 BPM. Then get your routing organized in a way that supports decisions. Group your drums into something like kick, snare, tops, and break if you're using one. Group your bass into sub, mid, and whatever extra layer you're running, like a Reese or Neuro layer. Now create a dedicated return track called A, tail verb, and optionally a second return called B, tail echo. The reason we use returns is consistency. You can send a snare fill, a vocal chop, a crash choke, a bass stab all into the same tail space, so your transitions feel like they belong to the same world across the whole track. That's one of the easiest ways to make a tune feel more expensive. Now let's build return A, the big space tail. This is the atmospheric one. First device, EQ8, before the reverb. This is your pre-shape, high-pass it hard. Start around 220 Hz, and be willing to move it between 180 and 300 depending on your material. In DNB, low-end reverb is basically just mud that steals impact from the drop. If the tail gets pokey, do a small dip somewhere around 2 to 4kHz, maybe 2 to 4dB, medium Q. And if it's too bright, add a gentle high shelf cut above 10k. The idea is dark leaning, controlled, not fizzy. Next, hybrid reverb. Use convolution plus algorithm if you've got it, because it gives you that depth plus size combination that reads cinematic without needing absurd volume. Set decay somewhere between about 4.5 and 8 seconds. In a Live Pro DNB transitions, that 5 to 6.5 second zone just works. Pre-delay, 20 to 40 milliseconds to start. That's a huge clarity move, because it lets the transient speak before the cloud arrives. Size can be big, 80 to 100%, taste-based. Inside the reverb, set low cut around 200 to 350, and high cut around 7 to 10k. Keep early reflections fairly low, like 10 to 25%, so you don't get a room. We want a tail, not a box around the drums. And since it's a return track, wet is 100%. Now, here's where it becomes DNB ready. Sidechain ducking. Add glue compressor after the reverb and enable sidechain. Feed it from your kick and snare bus, or your full drum group if you wanted to breathe with everything. Attack very fast, around 0.3 to 1 millisecond. Release, try around 120 milliseconds and then adjust by feel. Ratio 4 to 1. Pull the threshold down until you're seeding about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on the hits. This is the movement. The tail tucks under the transient and then blooms in the gaps. It's that rolling inhale-exhale feeling, but controlled. Next, add a saturator for texture. 2 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip-on, and trim the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Saturation helps tails stay audible on smaller speakers without you having to crank the return. Then for a bit of life, put auto filter at the end. You can do a low pass, 24 dB, with a bass cutoff somewhere like 6 to 12k, or do a band pass if you want more wind and mid focus, like 1.2 to 3k. Add slow LFO modulation, small amount, maybe 5 to 15%, rate very slow, like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. Keep phase at zero so the movement isn't wobbling around in stereo in a distracting way. The goal is subtle motion, not an effect you notice. That's return A, huge, dark, ducked, and alive. Now build return B, the tempo-locked smear. This is the one that gives rhythm and forward push. Put echo first. Turn sync on. Set the time to either 1/4 or 1/8 dotted. At 170, 1/8 dotted is a classic because it creates that skipping propulsion without sounding like a generic EDM delay. Feedback. Keep it controlled, around 25 to 45%. Filter inside echo. High pass around 250 Hz, low pass around 8 to 10k. Stereo width can be a bit wide, like 80 to 120%, but don't go so wide that the drop feels like it collapses when summed mono. Add a touch of modulation, maybe 2 to 6 for smear. After echo, at a short reverb, something like 1.2 to 2.5 seconds decay, pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, wet 100 since it's a return. Then sidechain it as well, same concept as return A. The echo return gives tempo energy, the verb return gives space. Together, you can do transitions that feel massive but still land clean. Next, choosing what to send. At 170 BPM, the best transition tails usually come from mid and high transient sources, not sub. Think snare fills, rim shots, ghost snares, short vocal chops like hey or go, effects hits like impacts and cymbal chokes. You can send bass stabs too, but here's the rule, do not send full sub into long reverb. If you want bass atmosphere, duplicate your mid bass, high pass that duplicate around 250 to 400, shorten it, and send that. You get the vibe without the chaos. Now the real secret, the throw. Automation. Pick a source, like your snare fill track, and instead of leaving the send up all the time, automate it so the tail is thrown right before the transition. For send into the big verb, typical throw values might land somewhere between minus 12 and minus 3 dB, depending on the source, and you usually only automate the last 1/8 note up to 1 bar before the transition. That's why it feels intentional. Then do the same for send B, but usually more sparingly. A quick spike can be enough to create that tempo-locked smear. Here are some placement ideas that match real DNB arranging. For a 16-bar run into a drop, keep it subtle from around bar 13 to 16, then do the big throw in the last bar. For an 8-bar switch, throw in the last half bar. For a 2-bar microfill, the last 1/8 to 1/4 note is often enough. Tight, punchy, and it doesn't blur the drop. A workflow tip. Use clip automation when you're experimenting because it's fast. Once you like it, consolidate it into arrangement automation so it's easy to read later. Now let's go advanced. Printing tails. This is the move that upgrades everything, because now the tail becomes audio you can edit, fade, reverse, gate, and place exactly where you want. Method 1 is resampling. Create a new audio track called tail print. Set its input to resampling. Solo the returns, or just record that section. Then record the transition. Trim it. Warp it if needed. Method 2 is recording directly from the return. Create an audio track called tail print A. Set input to audio from return A. Arm it, and record the transition. Once it's printed, you're in full control. You can fade it precisely. You can slice it and re-trigger it. You can time stretch it for exaggerated wash. And here's a classic jungle and DNB edit. Reverse the printed tail and add a short fade in so it sucks into beat one of the drop. That inhale effect is timeless. Now we make it dark, wide, but not messy. On the printed tail track, at EQ8 again. Yes, again. Printing can reintroduce weird low-end energy, so high pass around 250 to 400. Notch any harshness around 3 to 6K if it bites, and low pass around 9 to 12K if it's too fizzy. Then add utility for stereo discipline. If your version has bass mono, set it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. Otherwise, the simpler approach is, remove lows with EQ, then set width to around 120 to 160%. And remember, in darker DNB, too much width often sounds cheap. Controlled width sounds expensive. Optionally, add a gate if you want a hard stop so the tail doesn't spill into the drop. Set the threshold so it closes after the swell. Return around 150, to 300 milliseconds for smooth closure. Release 200 to 600 milliseconds so it feels musical. This is especially useful when you want a super clean, punchy first bar. Now let's talk timing at 170 BPM. Instead of thinking in seconds, think in musical targets. Alive transitions resolve best over 1 bar for a fast switch, 2 bars for standard, 4 bars for a big breakdown to drop moment. You can either set your reverb decay so the tail is mostly gone by the drop, or you can let it continue but duck it hard for the first 1 to 2 bars of the drop. One very drop safe combo is long decay, like 6 seconds, but with sidechain plus filtering plus either gating or automation. Now I want to give you a couple coach style checks that save a ton of time. First, calibrate tail loudness with a quick /B ritual. Put a utility at the very end of each tail return and use its gain as your tail volume knob. Build the chain with it turned down lower than you think. Then bring it up until the tail is clearly present in the last bar, without changing how hard the drop feels. If the drop suddenly feels smaller, your tail is too loud, too wide, or not ducking enough. Second, check groove against subdivisions, not a stopwatch. If the tail feels like it steps on the downbeat, it's usually the compressor release. Try to make the tail recover around 1/8 to 1/4 note after hits, by feel. If it blooms too late, it feels lazy, too early, and it masks hats and snare body. Third, stop tail buildup in busy sections. If multiple tracks feed the same return, the reverb can accumulate and smear the last four bars. A very effective trick is putting a gate before the reverb on the return and keying it from the fill track or drums, so the return only opens when the intended throw happens. And fourth, send discipline. Pick one or two signature send sources, usually your snare fill and a vocal stab. Keep everything else subtle. Transitions sound intentional when the space is a motif, not a constant wash. Now a fast mono compatibility sanity check. On your printed tail track, temporarily set utility width to zero. If it collapses into harsh mid-range or loses all energy, you lean too hard on side information. Reduce width, or add a bit of mid-focus texture like gentle saturation, or a narrow presence boost around 700 Hz to 1.5K before the widening stage. Let's hit some advanced variations you can try once the core system is working. 1. The two-speed tail. Make two parallel returns. One short tail, like 0.6 to 1.2 seconds, minimal ducking, for articulation. One long tail, like 5 to 8 seconds, heavy ducking and darker filtering for afterglow. Send both from the same hit. That way you keep definition and still get cinema. 2. Treat pre-delay like rhythmic placement, not just clarity. Nudge it until the cloud arrives slightly behind the hit in a groove-y way, around the feel of a 1/64 to 1/32 note at 170, but don't calculate it, just move it and listen for when it pushes the track forward. 3. Multiband ducking without third-party plugins. Put an audio effect rack on the return with two chains. One chain focused on low mids, say roughly 250 Hz to 2K Hz, and duck that harder. Another chain for highs above 2K Hz. Duck that lighter so the air stays audible. This prevents that low mid bloom that blurs snare impact. 4. The fog trick. Put auto filter with a resonant low pass into saturator. Then automate the cutoff downward during the last bar. The resonance feeds the saturation and gives you that smoky, pressurized tail that still sits behind drums. 5. Micro texture before the big space. Add a very subtle chorus ensemble or a short echo with tiny feedback before the main reverb. It aligns the source so it sounds less like a sample in a reverb and more like an environment. This audio version is shortened for playback.